caution that I made at the beginning of the day, which is not to use your client's last names. You may proceed.
Very well. Good morning again. My name is Sandy Pollack here, representing the mother in this case from an appeal from the Separate Juvenile Court of Lancaster County, Nebraska. The real issue in this case, as far as my client sees it, is that the trial court erred in not requiring the Department of Health and Human Services to accept her tender relinquishment. The court in Nebraska set out a standard in a recent case from 2010, In Re Interest of Gabriella H., wherein this court found that when there is a permanency objective of adoption that has been established, the juvenile court has the authority to accept or to order Department of Health and Human Services to accept a tendered relinquishment of parental rights. In that case, as this recall, as the court recalls, the mother's or the parent's trial counsel had indicated to Health and Human Services and to the court that their client wanted to relinquish their parental rights, and asked the court to enter an order requiring the department to do so. That court did do that, and that was affirmed. And directly after that case came down, it basically coincides with the current case, where the mother filed a motion to ask the court to require Health and Human Services to accept her relinquishment, which was heard on September 1st of 2010.
Was this before the termination hearing or after?
Before the termination hearing.
Okay.
So the mother asked the first time in September. And at that time, Health and Human Services testified before the juvenile court judge that they weren't willing to accept it. However, the mother had discussed with the Health and Human Services worker that she wanted to relinquish, had discussed with her KBC worker, the agency of HHS, that she wanted to relinquish, and had discussed with trial counsel, which was represented to the juvenile court, that she did not, that she wanted to relinquish. The trial court overruled that motion, saying that it wasn't right.
I'm a little slow. Can you tell me what the advantage is to someone to relinquish as opposed to have the court make a finding?
Of termination?
Right.
The real difference is whether or not, if that parent has additional children in the future, whether or not reasonable efforts would be necessary if the state were to remove a subsequent child.
So that's the downside for the state.
Correct.
If they don't.
That's correct. But that is dealing with unborn children. Juvenile court is about the best interest of this child. The mother had one child. That's what we were discussing at that point in time. So the trial judge indicated that wasn't right. And then the trial court gave me some directive in regards to what the trial court would want, and that is to get the mother in court and have her tender relinquishment, which is exactly what happened in December of 2010. I presented my client to the court. She came in and testified that she wanted to relinquishment, or that she wanted to relinquish, that she had continually discussed that request with Health and Human Services. She had continually discussed that request with KBC, an agency of Health and Human Services, and then she testified in open court, subject to cross-examination not only by myself, or I'm sorry, by the state, by the guardian vitam, but the court herself. She was subject to cross-examination. And at that point in time, Health and Human Services' position hadn't changed, saying that they were not willing to accept the relinquishment because, quote, concerns for other children that she may have. Not in the best interest of this child, but about unborn child children that may be in the future. At that time, the guardian ad litem stated, I have no problem with the relinquishment being accepted. The guardian ad litem is acting on the best interest of that child, and she wanted the court to enter that order. The court did not enter that order, but instead took the matter under advisement and scheduled the termination trial. A week before the termination trial was scheduled, which was January 11th, I filed a motion asking the court to rule on the mother's pending motion and schedule that for hearing before the termination trial. The court, as this court can see, did not rule on that, said that the matter was going to be continued to be under advisement, and went on with the termination trial.
How long did the termination trial last?
A couple hours. At that time, during that trial, the mother again testified. She was there in court. Judge, I want to relinquish. But the judge didn't give her the ability to do so. The court outlined what it expected when it issued its ruling in Gabriella H. This mother could not have done anything more than what she did. She talked with her KBC worker. She talked with her HHS worker. She told counsel, which advised all parties that she wanted to relinquish. She testified in court twice that she wanted to relinquishment, and she even filled out, signed, and we offered into evidence the relinquishment paperwork that is prepared by HHS that they use in every other case. This mother could not have done anything else. And in fact, during the termination trial, the HHS worker testified that the mother couldn't have done anything else. So why was HHS not willing to accept her relinquishment? Because they were concerned about other unborn children.
Is that even material?
Say that again?
Is that even material?
No, but there's no reason why they shouldn't have accepted the relinquishment. I think that this court should enter instructions or guidance to trial courts and to all parties who are involved in these types of cases that when we see a quicker alternative to permanency, which is the objective of juvenile court and in the best interest of children, when we see an opportunity for it, take it.
But was the judge's, was that the judge's reason, was that set out in the order that because of unborn children, or was it silent?
It was silent, and in the order that came out, the judge said that she's taking the matter under advisement, set it for termination trial, entered an order of termination, and then made a decision that the mother's motion was now moot.
That's the only explanation.
Yes. When we've got a parent in juvenile court who's trying to make a good decision on behalf of their child, a very hard decision, an HHS worker testified at the termination trial that this was a very hard decision, but the mother's decision was good.
How much delay here did that cause for the permanency of the child?
Now, approximately a year. And depending on what happens, it could be even more. The mother wanted the...
Well, let's assume there was no appeal.
If there was no appeal?
Yeah.
It would have... Well, it probably delayed it 6 months. The mother started talking about relinquishment back in the summer of 2010.
But from the time you got your client into the courtroom, what was the delay there?
I would say 3 months. But 3 months is a long time. And it may be quicker and it may be sooner in other cases. It may be longer in other cases. The evidence shows that the parent in this case, my client, had a working relationship with the proposed foster parents. The foster parent testified at one of the hearings that she doesn't care if it's a relinquishment or a termination, that her and her husband want to adopt this child. That they had already worked on a contact agreement. That they had exchanged text messages and pictures with the biological mother. So there was a working agreement here. And the only standstill was Health and Human Services saying that we didn't want to do that, and then the judge not ruling. Juvenile court is about permanency for children. The quicker that we can move to permanency when we've got a parent who is willing to relinquish, who has gone above and beyond what that parent in Gabriella H. did, and has done everything that she can possibly do, the court should order the department to accept the relinquishment. And with that, Your Honor, I would reserve any of my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Ms. Sabata, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Shelley Sabata, and I am Deputy County Attorney in the Lancaster County Attorney's Office. Logistically, we weren't entirely sure how to split this morning, so I just want to indicate to the court that I am the prosecutor that's been assigned this case since its inception, and I filed the motion for termination and litigated that at the formal hearing. I only briefed, as you are aware, the issues pertaining to the merits of the termination. Our office was sort of in a difficult position, and our position basically was that this issue with regard to relinquishments was an issue between the parent and Health and Human Services. So I basically am here to offer myself if there are questions with regard to the merits of the termination. Our position is that the evidence overwhelmingly established that we met our burden and proved the allegations in the termination petition. And we'd ask that the termination be affirmed. But if there are any questions with regard to that, otherwise I will turn it over to Counsel for Health and Human Services. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hathaway, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Jim Hathaway. I'm an attorney for the Department of Health and Human Services. It's been a few years since I've appeared before this court. It certainly is a privilege to be here today. It's the position of the department that certainly the juvenile court has the discretion to order the department to accept a relinquishment if it's in the best interest of the juvenile. However, we do not believe that the juvenile court has carte blanche discretion to order the department to accept relinquishment in all cases. In this particular case,
if termination would be in the best interests of the child, wouldn't relinquishment also be in the best interest?
Certainly in certain cases, Your Honor.
How about this case?
Well, it's a little different than Gabrielle in that first motion to order us to accept the relinquishment was filed on July 30th of 2010. Mom was not present. The hearing, was on September 1st. Mom was not present. There was another hearing on September 30th, 2010. Mom was not present. On October 6th of 2010, the court overruled the motion. Since Mom was not present, court could not assess Mom, and the relinquishment hadn't even been tendered yet. But the mom could renew that emotion at any time. That was never appealed. Then, which is different than Gabrielle H., then on October 12, 2010, the county attorney filed a termination of parental rights. Mom filed the second motion, December 6 of 2010. Mom finally came to a hearing in that month, and then the court took that under advisement. The termination of parental rights had already been set for January. Basically, what the court did is use its discretion to control its docket.
But isn't it even more compelling to grant it at that time to save a termination hearing that could go on for two? These termination hearings can go on for months.
Well, this went on for 2 hours, and it was set for January.
With this case, yes. But the court, did the court know that it was only going to be 2 hours?
Well,
it seemed to me for judicial efficiency that you would take it. You would take a relinquishment.
Well, I do believe that the court has the ability to control its docket, consolidated both, heard the evidence on both issues, ruled that the termination of parental rights was in the best interest of the juvenile, and then basically in a separate order overruled the motion to order us to take
what
was
case,
it.
Go ahead.
In this case, which would be in the better interest of the child, the relinquishment or a termination?
Well, I mean, the court ultimately ruled that the best interest was for the termination.
But my question is, as between the relinquishment and a termination in this case, which would have been in the better interest of the child on this set of facts?
Well, first of all, the hearing when Mom actually showed up was in early December of 2010.
Let's stop there. So what was the judge's rationale? What was the judge's discretion that was being exercised? There's a relinquishment on the table with the mother present.
Mm-hmm.
So what reasoning would there possibly be to go to a termination hearing?
Because the state
had filed. The delay.
The state had filed the motion to terminate parental rights at that time, and the hearing had been set.
Well, people file complaints in court all the time. That's no reason to go to trial. There is a relinquishment on the table. My question is, what was the court's rationale for exercising its discretion?
Well, the court wanted to consolidate the hearing for judicial efficiency.
What was the department's rationale for not accepting the relinquishment?
Well, I think Ms. Gabrielle testified that there was some concerns about Mom's mental stability. Obviously, Mom had been out of state for a period of time, and we didn't think it was in the best interest.
Was Mom represented at that time?
Was the
mother represented at the time when she tendered her relinquishment?
She was, but that wasn't until December of 2010, when Mom was actually present in the courtroom.
And that's the second time that she offered her or tendered her relinquishment.
Correct.
So she had counsel.
Yes, she did. And then...
And I take it counsel was communicating with HHS prior to December.
About the relinquishment?
Yes.
Oh, sure. But again, the court's position was Mom was not present.
What was your position? Did you actively oppose the relinquishment?
Basically, as I recall, I might have appeared one time in court, and it was the position of the department that... Certainly under Gabrielle H., that the court has the discretion to order us to accept a relinquishment if it's in the best interest of the juvenile. However, in this particular case, the termination of parental rights had been filed unlike it had not been filed and Gabrielle H.
And did you actively request the court not to order you to accept the relinquishment?
Basically, as I recall, I argued that it was within the discretion of the court, whether it was in the best interest or not. But at this time, we were not willing to accept the relinquishment unless the court so ordered.
So your, I guess your rationale or the court's rationale is if the county attorney files a termination, a petition for termination, then we must go there?
Well, certainly the court...
I understand the court has discretion.
Yeah.
I'm asking for reasoning here.
And I'm assuming that the court wanted to hear the evidence on both issues.
Well, wouldn't it make your job at DHS a lot easier if you got these relinquishments?
Well, again, you have to look at the history in that Mom...
Well, in this case, it would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it?
See, Mom was out state, and so she never comes back to court.
I'm talking about the one that was on the table.
On the table. Well, it wasn't actually tendered until December of 2010.
Well, that was still before the termination hearing.
No, agreed, but the court had already set that on its docket.
Did there come a point in time at which the mother appeared in court and had tendered a relinquishment, all of which occurred before a termination hearing? Is that a correct statement of the
record?
That
is correct.
Okay, thank you.
So why? What would be the reasoning if petition for termination is on file and the state is taking the position that this mother's parental rights should be terminated in the best interest of the child, and the mother comes into court and says, okay, I'm willing to relinquish my parental rights, what would be the reasoning for not accepting that relinquishment?
I'm assuming because the state filed for the termination of parental rights and a hearing had been set, and so the court wanted to hear the evidence on both issues.
Counsel, there's got to be better. What's the reason? I mean, can you tell us why the fact that there had been a petition filed and a hearing set or a trial set, that's no reasoning.
Well, the juvenile court took the position that they wanted to consolidate both.
Well, what's driving this case?
I'm sorry.
What's driving this case? What is DHS purpose in opposing the relinquishment?
Well, first of all,
in this case, not with respect to potential events.
No, I understand that. Again, the motion, the first motion was filed in July. There were a couple hearings. Mom was not present. There was concerns that Mom had the mental ability, and there was testimony from Ms. Gabriel to that effect in December, and then also in January at the termination of parental rights hearing.
I should have asked Ms. Sabata this question, but I'll ask you, did the county attorney actively oppose accepting the relinquishment?
I think they were neutral. But after the court overruled the first motion for us to accept the relinquishment, then within a matter of a few days, they filed the termination of parental rights.
Okay. In the grand scheme of things, how would it affect your department if the court accepts relinquishments?
If the court accepts them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the court has ruled that the court can accept this.
Now, I'm saying if courts, as a matter of practice, accept these relinquishments, how does that affect DHS?
Well, first of all, it depends on if we have a permanency plan of adoption. And
you
if we have
here. You, which you did, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and you had folks who were hoping for foster adopt. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
But still, the court has the discretion to...
I'm not asking about the court. I'm asking about you, your position with the department.
If the court orders us to accept a relinquishment, and we feel it's in the best interest, and certainly the court has the ability to order us that.
I'm in
a different position than that.
Does the department have an active policy that they will not accept relinquishments?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Does the department have an active policy that they will not accept relinquishments?
I think it's on a case-by-case basis. Generally, we will. But in this particular case, the termination of parental rights was requested to file. And so...
So is that the policy? If there's a termination case filed, then we're going to let it go to trial no matter how long it takes or what the circumstances are?
Well, like I said, it's on a case-by-case basis, Your Honor. Well, in this particular case, Mom was kind of out of the picture and for a period of time and didn't appear back in juvenile court until December.
But she did appear in December and she had counsel.
So that's correct.
Okay. So if we're talking about a case-by-case basis, that's this case. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And again, you know, it's position of the department that the juvenile court did not abuse its discretion in consolidating the matter. I mean, obviously this court used its discretion to remove this case from the Court of Appeals to the Supreme Court to hear this matter. It's position of the department that the juvenile judge did not abuse its discretion in consolidating the matter.
Because?
So it's all about docket management? Is that your...
Well, it's a part of it, and that really then the decision becomes which is in the best interest to hear evidence on both sides, on the relinquishment issue and on the termination of parental rights issue. The court has all of that evidence then to make a decision. It's not like there was a delay of months prior or after the December hearing. The termination of parental rights hearing had been set for first part of January of 2011.
Let's take one more shot at this and see if we can get an answer.
I'm
not even sure what question to ask anymore. But okay, so why would the court has a relinquishment sitting before in December and a termination case that's set for January, wants to hear evidence to both? Why? If there's a relinquishment that can be accepted, why would the court want to hear evidence as to both? Why would the court exercise its discretion?
I'm assuming because that there was a termination on trial and wanted to hear both.
And okay. the department had no role in this whatsoever.
As far as what?
As far as whether or not the relinquishment would be accepted.
We testified that we were not willing. The position that I argued is to the court was certainly under Gabriel H. that the court had the discretion to order us to take a relinquishment if it was in the best interest in the child. Unlike Gabriel H., there was a termination of parental rights on file, and then in fact that had already been set for hearing. And
why
at the hearing in January, there was additional evidence presented on the relinquishment issue. So that continued into January. I see I'm way out of time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. How much time do we have for rebuttal?
2 minutes, 5 seconds.
2 minutes and 5 seconds, Mr. Pollack.
I'll try not to take it, Your Honor.
Well, how about answering this question?
Please.
If we... if the court steps into this and says that under certain circumstances that relinquishments would have to be accepted, what should the rule be? Is it a blanket if there's an offer to relinquish, the court has to honor that? What should the rule be?
I think that there are several circumstances. In this case, when there is one child that was subject to the jurisdiction of juvenile court, and a parent is willing to tender a relinquishment after the permanency plan is adoption and the child's in a foster adoption placement, there's no reason for the department not to accept a relinquishment. The court's question could envision, let's say there's two children subject to this jurisdiction, and the parents say, I want to relinquish on one, but not the other. I think that is a situation
that's a totally different deal.
But in this case, the mother had tendered her relinquishment, and as Your Honor noted, there was a hearing in December where she tendered her relinquishment. The judge did not continue that hearing. The judge said, I'm going to take that matter under advisement, and I will rule later. So Mr. Hathaway is incorrect where he said that the court wanted to consolidate hearings. That is not accurate.
Do you know did the judge state on the record any rationale for that?
No.
Okay.
Was there a formal opposition or pleading in opposition to the relinquishment?
No.
What relief are you asking for on appeal?
Asking the court to send this back to the trial court with the specific instructions that the court order the department to accept the tendered relinquishment of the mother. In this case, this child could have been adopted a year ago. would have been adopted a year ago. This child's always lived with that family. They have come in and testified that they want to adopt that child, and that's where the mother wanted this child.
And is the relief you seek meaningful in this case?
Absolutely. To my mind, it is.
It will prolong what happens to the child.
Now, but not the next child. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will go on to the next case of the day, which is Heritage Bank versus